What's good, everybody? This episode of the podcast is sponsored by DistroKid. They are the go-to for digital music distribution and the easiest way for musicians to get your music onto Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, TikTok, YouTube, and all the places you need your music to be. They offer unlimited uploads, and artists keep 100% of their earnings in-store 10 to 20 times faster than any other distributor. Fastest payouts, they help out with automatic splits, cover song clearance, and all kinds of other amazing tools and templates to help you get the most visibility for your releases. I dig this company and really appreciate their business model that offers more features than any other distributor at the most affordable price possible for solo musicians, bands, studio artists, DJs, and any other creators that are producing music in their home, and they also offer label services as well. They've got three different tiers to offer creators that start as low as $22.99 a year. That's just $1.92 per month, and even their top tier breaks down to only $7.50 per month. And the best part about DistroKid sponsoring the podcast is that they are offering Dan Cable Presents listeners 30% off your first year of membership, making their already affordable services even cheaper for you. Check out the link in the episode notes. I also put it in my Instagram bio in the link tree. Click that link and it'll give you 30% off your first year of service. Super stoked to have DistroKid sponsoring the podcast and can't thank them enough for their longtime support of this thing. Let's start the episode. What is happening, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Dan Cable Presents podcast. Thank you for tuning into the program once again. If this is your first time listening, thanks for checking out the show. You can find fresh episodes every week. And if you want to help support this thing in a free way, you can do so by clicking subscribe on iTunes, clicking write a review, giving the podcast 5 stars if you feel like it is deserving of so, and that will help propel this thing into the tops of those iTunes charts, giving it more visibility on the national and international levels, helping strangers find the podcast, and just a great way to contribute to the growth and sustainability of this thing. Appreciate the hell out of all the folks that have already taken the time to do so. If you're not listening on Apple, just hit like, follow, subscribe wherever you are listening from. Give it 5 stars on Spotify if that's where you're tuning in. Tell a friend about the podcast. Check out the monthly playlists that I've been dropping every first of the month. Those are available on Apple Music and Spotify, and the links for those are in the episode notes. Hope everybody is doing well out there, and appreciate everybody's patience with the cast this week. I know it's coming in a couple days late due to some unforeseen circumstances that went down between having a bunch of family roll in for this holiday week. It was really awesome to have most of my entire mom side of the family together for Thanksgiving this year. That hasn't happened in a long time, and usually those are the folks that I end up spending Thanksgiving with. So it was really nice after, I don't know, it's probably been 4 or 5 years since that many of our family members have been all in the same room for Thanksgiving. So that was really nice. But I also got a new studio space, which is really exciting. However, I've had it for about a week and I've been getting things set up, and I rolled into the building the other day to find the door to my studio space open, and a bunch of my things just all over the ground. And unfortunately, some folks had broken in there and taken a bunch of things, including my Mac Mini and my favorite RE20 microphone that is in my Dan Cable Presents logo, and my Fender Telecaster and a bunch of other stuff. The good news is that I do have insurance and all these things will be replaced. And I actually haven't been using my Mac Mini the last few months because I've been moving around and I've been on tour and I've mostly been using my laptop. So luckily it wasn't like there was a bunch of podcast episodes on there that had already been recorded that I have lost. So you know, I'm thankful for that. And it doesn't feel like I lost too many things that are irreplaceable other than some files on that Mac Mini. So that is the good news. The insurance things are all in motion, and hopefully I will get a check and be able to replace the things that I need to replace quickly, and it shouldn't really slow down production from here. And I'm still very excited to have this new space to work out of, and just trying to not let this be a black eye on this this space that I have wanted for a long time. And I think a lot of good things are going to happen there. I think this was just bad timing. I talked to the maintenance person and a few of my neighbors, and they've been there for like 10 years and never had anything like this happen. So I think it was just a bit of a freak occurrence. And I think hopefully this will be the worst thing that can happen. And I'm getting it out of the way now, and I'll still be able to get in there and get a fresh start. It was just kind of a bummer. I was walking in there for my first official day of working in that space. I had gotten enough things in there and some things set up that I could actually operate out of there. And it was just a rough and very upsetting feeling to walk into your stuff just kind of like thrown all over the place and trying to figure out what was missing. It was definitely very upsetting. But feeling all right, just a couple of days removed from that situation, and I'm ready to do some good work in there. And I'm excited to share this week's episode of the podcast, this conversation with Hannah Morton, who plays under the name Kitchen Congregation, and she also has another band with her sister called Laska. And I chatted with her about her music beginnings in both of those projects and kind of the differences between those two. She has only been in the Portland, Oregon area for about a year now, and I just stumbled upon her music recently and just instantly fell in love with the tunes that she's making and her vocal delivery. So it was nice to have the opportunity to meet up with her and get to know her a little bit through this conversation and get a better understanding of the Laska project and this Kitchen Congregation music that she's making. And I'm excited to get myself out to one of these Laska shows in the near future, and hoping to catch her play one of these Kitchen Congregation sets as well. If you are in the Portland, Oregon area, you can catch Laska on December 6th with Amos Hart and Kenzie Peach over at the Holocene. I'm hoping to make it over to that one, and I will put all of the links for both Laska and Hannah's Kitchen Congregation music in the episode notes. This episode features music from both Laska and also both of the Kitchen Congregation EPs, which are all available wherever you stream music. I hope everybody had a good holiday. Hope you got to spend some time with some people that you love and surround yourself with some folks that care about you. Feeling really grateful that this whole situation with my studio happened when I had a bunch of family in town, and I also have a lot of family that lives in the immediate Portland, Oregon area, and they were all super supportive, and they all kind of like came by to help me clean things up and get some reinforcements on the security, and got me some security cameras immediately, just kind of like went out and got me the things that I needed. And I think that made this situation a lot easier. So I am very thankful for that. And I'm thankful for all of you that keep continuing to tune into this thing. And like I said, appreciate the patience this week. It was, I'll tell you what, I was feeling pretty defeated that day that I walked in to my studio in kind of disarray. And I was like, maybe this is going to be the week that I do not put out an episode for the first time in almost 8 years. And I just couldn't let it happen. I could not let that derail this thing. So I'm excited to share this conversation, and I'm excited that I was still able to get something out, and very very stoked that this particular episode was not sitting on that Mac Mini that got taken, and that I did not lose this conversation with Hannah. So this is episode 386 of the podcast with Hannah Morton, aka Kitchen Congregation. Also, if you're in the Portland area, Dan Cable Presents annual holidays party. The sixth annual holidays party is going down on December 7th. And I will be DJing that night over at Church Bar in Northeast Portland with my friends Love Jones and Northern Draw, both former guests of the podcast. It's going to be a really fun night. It's a free event on December 7th. So if you're a past guest of the cast, you're a fan of the cast, you're a friend, come through, hang out with us, bring your dancing shoes. I'm excited to play some tunes that I've been adding to my DJ library that I have not had the opportunity to play yet. So that is going on December 7th, and this is episode 386 with Hannah Morton, and we're going to kick off the episode with one of my favorite Kitchen Congregation tracks. It is called Diss Track for Myself. It is off Hannah's first Kitchen Congregation EP, which is called I'm Not Having Fun Anymore. So this is Diss Track for Myself. Let's do the damn thing. We can run it. We'll see what happens.
Let's run
here.
It from the top.
I'm excited to chat with you. I stumbled upon your Kitchen Congregation tunes just trying to find new music that was happening in Portland. I do that weekly radio spot on Kink FM, so I'm always trying to find new stuff. And one of the ways that I do that sometimes is just by just browsing the venue websites.
Nice.
And just see who's playing and see if I can find some new names in there. And then it's just a lot of like cross-referencing Spotify for I don't know, it's kind of specific of what I can actually play on Kink.
I see.
It has to be like somewhat radio friendly or feel like it's got some, you know, pop sensibilities to it or something like that. So when I found your tunes, I was like I fell for a lot of the tunes very quickly and was just like really into it, and it made me want to listen to everything that was available there.
Hell so yeah, thanks.
That's how I stumbled upon it, but I don't know too much about you or really like anything at all, except I know that you're somewhat new to the Portland area, that you haven't been here that long and come from Minnesota. Is that right?
Yep.
But yeah, talk to me about where you grew up and like what your early memories of falling in love with music or getting exposed to music, either as a player or a listener?
Okay. Well, I grew up technically in Wisconsin, Baldwin, Wisconsin. So it's Minneapolis is like the biggest city nearby. Okay. So I always just say Minnesota, Minneapolis. And Minneapolis was also the most recent place I lived. Not a very important distinction, but very small town, Wisconsin. and my parents were just like, our kids are going to play music. And so they put me in violin lessons when I was 5. And then my little sisters followed suit. And I actually didn't really like violin. I was kind of like forced upon me. We like practiced every day, had lessons twice a week. It was kind of intense. And I think I kind of got burned out on it. And I remember, I don't know, I was probably like 11 or 12 and I was like, Mom, Dad, I need a guitar. I need to write songs. Like, I got some feelings I need to get out. So they got me a guitar. And I remember, I don't know, I always had like this thing with my sisters because we're so close in age. And my parents would like dress us the same and like be like, they're all the same. So I was like, no one else is allowed to play guitar. But I was like growing up, I was like, everyone plays guitar. I should have stuck with the violin, which I still was playing violin. But yeah, I guess. Yeah. So I just kind of fell in love with writing.
Did you seem to like take to the guitar right away too? Like much differently than how you felt about the violin early on with it?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I wasn't like super invested into it, but I would like pick it up whenever I wanted to write something.
Yeah.
And then I think I didn't really get super into writing and playing guitar till I went like to college. And then that was when me and my sisters started playing music together too.
Yeah. But even like high school, you're writing things.
Yeah, occasionally, not like a lot. Yeah, I feel like college was when I really started getting into it.
Yeah. What about as far as lyrics? Like, were you writing a lot of lyrics in high school, or did that even come?
I think,
more
yeah,
in college
sporadically,
as well?
But yeah, I think it happened a lot more. I guess I was writing some in high school because we started recording a bit when I was in college, but yeah.
But you didn't like pick up the guitar.
I wasn't like, every day I need to do this.
Yeah. And you didn't like pick it up with like a lot of intention of learning a bunch of covers or anything. You
no.
really just like wanted to find
yeah.
this way to express yourself.
Right. Just like learned the most basic chords and then, yeah, just
yeah.
was writing with it.
What do you think drew you into kind of processing the world around you or just like wanting to express yourself in that way?
I don't really know. That's kind of a mystery to me because I just remember like wanting, I remember my cat died and I was like, I need to write a song for my cat. And that was like the first thing that I wrote. And yeah, I don't know what else drew me into it. It just kind of felt like a need.
Yeah. Did it always feel like you were doing it during heavier times, like when you were sad rather than
yeah,
a little
like
more
sad
joyful?
Or longing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about what you were like listening to early on? Like what kind of music grabbed your attention or what were you listening to in high school or like when you first picked up the guitar?
I listened to a lot of whatever my older sister was listening to at the time. But I do remember that there was like 2 albums that I would play over and over in my CD player in my room. And it was Hilary Duff, Metamorphosis, and Arcade Fire, the album with Modern Man on it.
Okay.
So I don't know. I feel like those are kind of very different, but
yeah, pretty spread
it's
out.
Just like, yeah, those were the ones that were getting me.
And were you, did you keep up with the violin stuff?
Yeah, I quit for a couple years. And then a few years ago, I was like, why did I stop that? I should do that again.
Yeah.
So I started playing with a band in Minneapolis while I was there still actually. And yeah. And then I just started playing it with my solo project and yeah.
As you got into college, what kind of sparked more of your interest towards dedicating more time to songwriting and eventually putting music out?
So me and my sister started playing together. Our older sister actually, I don't even know why, but she was just like, you guys should all sing together. And she like forced us to sing a cover together, which was Call Your Girlfriend by Robin. And then that kind of just started a whole thing where we were doing like a lot of covers and I don't know, somehow it like started morphing into original songs and then we decided to record an EP together. And I think that was kind of like when we did the recording, that was kind of when I was like, okay, I want to kind of take this seriously and write more, like play more.
Yeah.
And then also the person that we recorded with ended up being like one of our best friends and joined the band and he kind of encouraged us to like keep going and yeah.
So would that be the first Laska recordings?
No, it's actually under a different name that okay. I will not mention.
So when it how did it progress from there as far as starting the Laska project? Or was that your first serious
yeah, definitely.
Music endeavor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Evan, who recorded it, kind of took us under his wing, showed us the ropes of how we play shows, and he got some other people to play with us. And that was when we changed the name to Laska and then recorded the first album.
Strong hands and fist to get through the night. Don't hold your breath, just hold on tight. You've got the nerve to just let it slide. You're a brave girl, so put up a fight. Call me at 4 when you need a ride. Excuse the mess and just come inside.
And what was the songwriting dynamics in that band? Were you bringing the main ideas for those things, or was it shared with your sister?
Yeah, it was shared with my sister. Actually, our other sister was in the band at first too, so there was 3 of us for quite a while actually. And we would all write separately and then just bring them to the band, and then everyone would add some parts. And we kind of had the mindset in the studio that you could just throw everything at the wall and then see what you like at the end, see what sticks.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've kind of carried that on into my own stuff too, but yeah, we all kind of wrote separately and brought them to the band.
Just thinking about earlier performances and playing in front of people, was that something you were always pretty eager and comfortable to do, or was there some anxiety behind that?
Yeah, I feel like I was always really drawn to it, actually. Definitely some nerves, but I don't know. I just wanted people to hear it. I wanted to share it.
Thinking about it now, does it feel different when you're playing a solo set versus when you're doing something with Laska, or maybe even just doing a more stripped down thing with Laska? Does it does that feel more vulnerable, or there are different
definitely.
Experiences to you?
Yeah, when I first started playing solo sets, I was terrified, probably more scared than I ever was to play with my sisters, because it's so vulnerable and there's nothing to hide behind and it's just you. There's, nowhere else to go. You got to do it all. But I've gotten a little more confident in it and it feels good. But I still get scared to do solo sets and it feels good. I like to put myself in those positions where I'm a little bit nervous and then have to overcome it.
Yeah. It also just feels like you're usually expressing some pretty raw emotions.
Definitely.
Through the music.
Yeah.
So I don't know, that must add to the vulnerability of what you're doing and sharing these things with strangers.
Yeah. And also I feel like I have a lot more opportunity to play newer songs with when I'm playing solo. And so that can be a little bit more scary too, just cause they're fresh. You haven't played them as many times. And also because the feelings are fresh and it might give something away of your inner mind.
You like that element of it then, to just if you wrote a song today and you had a set tonight, you could share that.
Yeah,
in
definitely.
Real time kind of thing.
Yeah, my last solo set I finished writing the song that day and then played it, which it felt really fun. But I also think whenever you're playing it in front of someone, even if you just have a recording of it and then walk into the next room and play it for someone, you automatically start seeing it differently because you're imagining it through someone else's eyes too.
Yeah.
So it kind of shows you where weak points are and where strong points are, even in your own head.
Can't keep everything just the same, but I don't wanna fight. Could it be the rain is following me, or is that just wishful? Thank you.
how do you kind of like discern between like knowing if something is a Alaska song versus your solo stuff?
Honestly, it just, I don't know. Sometimes I'll play a song and my sister will be like, that needs to be Alaska song. I want that song. And then also because me and Mookie are both writing for that project, like it's kind of filled up. There's like a back order of songs we want to record yeah. as Alaska. So then just like kind of default, like I'm going to make this a Kitchen Congregation song now.
Yeah.
Or to another project that hasn't started yet.
Was the like overflow in songs and like that kind of getting backlogged the spark for kind of you playing solo?
Yeah. Also, so me and both of my sisters were playing as Alaska together. And then in 2020, those two moved to LA. And so then I was like, we were still sometimes doing Alaska stuff. So like we would do little tours once the world opened back up. But then I was like, yeah, I'll just do a solo thing for now since I have the time. Yeah. But then, yeah, I liked it a lot more than I thought I would.
Yeah. Do you feel like your experience with Alaska stuff kind of really informed the way you wanted to roll the music out or like how you wanted to go about presenting the first project?
Yeah, kind of. I think, I'm not sure exactly. I think it was kind of nice to just be able to make all the decisions by myself once I did the solo thing. Because I was so used to just like needing input from so many people for everything. And so, yeah, I was kind of just like going with the gut for the solo thing. Just whatever feels right, that's the only option because no one else is here to rebuttal it.
Yeah. Is it kind of your natural instincts though to like share it with people or like you have like a committee of people that you're like comfortable
yeah,
showing these tunes to? I would imagine yeah. your sisters are still like a good sounding board
right.
for that.
Yeah. And yeah, a couple of close friends and stuff. I'll be like, when I was recording my first solo EP, I sent like, there was probably like six songs that I sent to like two of my best friends were like, which four should I make an EP? And so, yeah, things like that.
Yeah, I love the songs on that was the first thing that I checked out.
The new EP?
Was the first one.
Oh, okay.
Actually.
Nice.
And yeah, just like you're like on I'm Not Having Fun Anymore, like just across the board dig your vocal delivery and just the way your approach to delivering things, like specifically thinking about like that anxious attachment song on the way it kind of like interacts with the rhythm of the song is very cool.
Did all of the production stuff on it, and then I recorded the vocals in his roommate's closet. So
this is back in Minnesota.
Back in Minnesota, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of was like, I guess I gave Adam more freedom on that one. I recorded like the guitar, violin parts, and then was just like, here's a vague idea of like the production style I like. Yeah. Go nuts.
What were your references for things at that point?
Caroline Polachek was a big reference. I think Anxious Attachment actually was, I don't think he did, maybe he did some stuff to that one, but that one was a little bit more minimal.
Letting him kind of run free with things, did that kind of maybe speak to like the kind of like synthy electronic shit that happened
yeah.
in that those recordings?
Yeah. Yeah, I just didn't like have the capacity to do that, and I just wanted it to be like kind of popped out and yeah. fun.
What's it been like having the opportunity to have like a shared creative passion with your sisters and like get to make music together? Because I feel like that's not always something that family gets to kind of share, and I think that's like a pretty special kind of intimate thing.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I don't know. I guess I don't know. Like anything else, kind of. And like me and my sister live together and we have all the same friends and okay. we're in the band
it's
together.
Very intertwined.
So yeah, it's just like, it's just how it is. It's cool because like, if I have a question about a song, if I'm uncertain about anything, I know that she'll be honest with me. Even like, if it's just by being like, I like this song more than that song. Like we have the ability to be very honest with each other and that can be nice.
Yeah. I feel like that's always like a positive element usually of those, like family dynamics or like people that I know that are in like romantic relationships and also create yeah. together. It feels like that level of honesty is always in a good spot where you can just like be, you know, I think it contributes to good things creatively because you're just like, you're not going to let something slip by that you're not feeling, you know?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
A little easier to call people out on yeah. like, not this one.
Yeah, there's the other day we were like learning a new song and I was like, you gotta practice this song, bro.
Guitar the main writing tool then for you?
Yeah, it is these days. I kind of want to get back to using violin to write more at some point, but we got a whole life for that.
Yeah. And are you usually writing lyrics simultaneously, or are you always kind of jotting down ideas?
Yeah, kind of always jotting down ideas. I feel like lyrics usually come first for me, although occasionally I'll start with a guitar part first.
And what brought you, what was the move to Portland?
I kind of was like ready to get out of the winter in the Midwest for a while.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And had been to Portland a few times. And I guess I just kind of always felt drawn to Oregon. And so I like had in my mind that I was going to move to Portland for almost a year before I did.
Okay.
I was just like waiting for my lease to be up.
Yeah.
And I moved, yeah, just like a year ago. November 1st last year.
Did you know many other musicians out here or people playing in the music scene?
No, barely any. There was like a few bands we had interacted with from like coming through on tours and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically no musicians. We had me and Mookie both moved here at the same time.
Okay.
And then we had like one friend here.
What's it been like kind of inserting yourself into the music scene here? Has it been...
It's been surprisingly like really, it's been really easy and really, it's gone really well. I just like started doing PDX songwriter stuff as soon as we got here.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, I just felt like immediately accepted into the group and the environment and everybody was really nice and like people were like, let's play shows together. And then, yeah, it was just like, it's amazing how the community just like accepted us and feels good.
Yeah. That's, I feel like that's a strong group of people to get involved with. And
yeah,
and it's been, hasn't even been going that long. So I feel, it seems like you got it in like very early on.
Yeah.
In it happening. And,
good timing, I guess.
So are you playing, like, is there any sort of like conscious decision between like the amount of solo stuff you're doing with the Kitchen Congregation music versus the Alaska stuff? Or is it just kind of, whenever the opportunities happen? And
yeah, it kind of just depends. I think it's just kind of like whenever I feel like doing it, I book a show. And it's also a good way to try out new songs. I put out an EP in August, so now I've been writing a lot since I put that out. And I want to like play the songs live and like kind of get a feel for what I think wants to be put into the world next.
Is that usually the way that you like to do it? You get to like play them out?
Yeah, I think that gives you a good idea of like, yeah, what people like and what feels good.
Yeah. Do you feel like things like Instagram or in social media are like also kind of serve the same purpose as that? Like you can throw up like a bit of a song and see how people react to it?
Yeah, definitely. I've been trying to do that a little bit lately, and it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
As far as the This Is Gonna Suck EP.
Yes.
It feels like that has like quite a bit of a different vibe than the first EP.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that electronic stuff, it seems like it carries over, like in the opening track. There's some of that going on, mm-hmm. which is like really rad. But what sparked the idea for that collection of songs, and how do you feel like your experience making that first EP maybe informed like what you wanted to do with the most recent one?
I think when I was like listening back to the first EP, I was like, you know, I still think it's really cool, but it was kind of a lot. And I was just like, I felt like sort of disconnected from it because of that. And so I was like, I kind of want to make something that's a little bit more raw, but then still has like some fun little moments in it. And This Is Gonna Suck was also mostly self-produced, so that I guess impacted things as well. But I just was like listening to things, and I like whenever there's just little sound bits that will like come in for a moment and then not come back throughout the song.
Yeah.
Just like little ear tickles and fun little things like that.
For sure. Those little things that like leave you wanting to hear it again.
Yeah.
But you can't, so you just have to listen to the track again.
Yeah, exactly. Or like something that you don't even hear maybe on like the first five listens, and then like the next one, oh, that's something new that I didn't notice before.
Yeah.
So yeah, I kind of wanted it to be a little more raw. And I guess the songs are a little more raw too, like lyrically. So I kind of just wanted to try it out like that.
Did it feel different putting out this collection of tunes, being that the songs were so raw as far as like lyrically and what you were expressing emotionally?
Yeah, it felt, and also because like I did almost everything myself, so it felt like they were like my little babies that I spent so much time on. Just like re-recording the guitar over and over again, and then like editing. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like having that complete control over something, or do you feel like you kind of get in your own way sometimes?
I think it was kind of fun. Yeah, it was a good challenge. And then I did have like someone else mix it, because I was like, someone else needs to be in charge of that. I don't trust myself to do that. But yeah, it was kind of fun to have complete control. And yeah, again, I would like send it to people and be like, is this too much, like in this moment? And then sometimes, like there was the first track has a very active violin part, and I sent it to one of my friends, and he was like, maybe you don't need that active of a violin part. And I was like, I'm just going to keep it because I want it. I like it. I don't care what you think.
Yeah. So even if you send something to someone, if you're feeling strongly about something, it's pretty easy for you to know when and when not to, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like when someone tells you to do something and you like immediately know that you want the opposite. So you're like, too bad. As we slow dance in the falling snow. And I asked you, is this how it normally
So you recorded all of that on your own then?
Not everything. The piano in The Fool, one of my friends recorded. And then the drums, I was there and like kind of giving instructions, but not playing or recording.
Yeah.
And then like there's some stuff in the first song that one of my friends did as well.
You feel like there's some underlying like kind of themes or like things that kind of I don't know, just kind of like string all those songs together as far as what they're expressing and like why you wanted to present them as a collection of songs?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, like, in retrospect, there is kind of like a timeline throughout them that kind of makes sense. The first song is like about falling in love, and then like the second song is about needing to leave, and the third song is about being left, and then the fourth song in my mind is kind of just like learning to live with whatever comes at you.
Yeah.
But I didn't really like put that together when I decided those four songs. I think I just like felt good about those ones from playing them out, and yeah, I just liked those four songs.
Just happened to work out that way. That
yeah, I mean,
all
it's
express
just
those different points.
Crazy. It's not like that's what happened in my life. But
did it? Did you see that like while you were sequencing them, or did that also just kind of happen that they ended up in that order?
Yeah, I think when I was like figuring out the order, I kind of was like, yeah, this kind of tells a story if they're in this order.
Yeah. Do you feel like you're getting to tap into something different when you're doing this solo music versus the music you're making with your sister?
Yeah, I mean, I do, like, just having that complete control and like having to do everything definitely like gives you a new perspective on it.
Yeah.
Maybe makes you take a step you wouldn't have taken before. And then, yeah, just like I said earlier about playing solo definitely challenges you in a new way too.
Yeah. I would imagine though, it's also maybe somewhat re-energizing to like go like kind of bounce back and forth and kind of have like two different creative outlets.
For sure. Yeah. It's different for sure. And it's fun in its own way each way.
And then are you playing a lot of violin then in Alaska for the live shows?
Yes. Not like a lot, but yeah, now I'm playing the violin parts, yeah.
Yeah. Have you done any like full band shows with the Kitchen Congregation stuff?
No, I haven't. And I kind of want to keep it that way.
Yeah.
I just like, I don't know. I don't want to have to have a group text and ask who can practice. I just want to like let it be me.
Yeah, you're already doing that with one group.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Already a labor.
Yeah. And also I kind of like how the name is Kitchen Congregation and it's just one person.
Yeah.
Cause I think it's kind
great.
Of ironic.
it's a very solid solo name.
Thank you.
Is that also, you feel like you're able to kind of experience the songs a little bit differently when you're playing them live versus, you know, recording them? Cause I'm assuming you're not making records with this music, thinking about how you're going to pull it off live with all this instrumentation behind it.
Definitely. And I've done like some track stuff, especially with the first EP. And I like doing that. It's kind of fun. But then I kind of also like just having the stripped version of it, just like guitar and vocals. And yeah, it just lives in its own entity.
At one point with your sisters, you started like learning a bunch of covers.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that really helped your understanding of songwriting?
Probably, yeah. I also remember just like paying attention to song structure in church and like seeing the lyrics up out there and being like, this is how they structure songs.
Yeah.
But also I kind of like to destroy the thoughts of how a song should be made. And just do whatever comes to your mind.
How do you feel like, I don't know. How do you feel like you're consciously doing that? Like what is it like destroying a song or like its structure?
Yeah.
Look like
I mean,
to you?
A lot of the times I'll fall into just like verse, chorus, end song. And so then sometimes I'm just like, don't do that. Just like play and then see where it goes.
Yeah. I feel like you kind of do like a cool version of like destroying momentum sometimes within your songs. Like, I want to play the episode out later with Expiration Date.
Okay.
And I feel like that one is like one of those songs where the shifts in the timing just like feel like it's really picking up, and then it just kind of like the momentum gets like sucked out in a cool way. Sweet. Where it just like completely shifts like where you think the song might be going.
Hell yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
That song, actually, there's a part where it like skips a whole measure from going from the verse to the second chorus. And that happened on accident when I was like playing live one time, because I count like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then it's supposed to have another measure and then go to the chorus. But like when I was playing live one time, I accidentally just skipped that, and I was like, I'm never going to play that measure ever again. We're just going to keep that out.
That's awesome. I love the happy accidents. I don't know. I've been like sitting in on someone making their record right now, and just to like see the things that happen by accident that everybody kind of like ends up agreeing like, no, this is the way we do it now.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And are you someone that likes to talk about your tunes a lot when you're playing live shows, as far as providing context, or you like to keep that stuff like pretty close to you?
I feel like I'm getting better at talking about it. I have for so long, like, been so scared of talking on stage. Like, I can like go sing on stage, but then like as soon as I have to like just use words to come straight out of my mind, it doesn't work. Something I've noticed from just like going to shows is that whenever I hear someone talk about the song, it makes me like pay so much more attention in a different way. So I try to like give context to certain songs.
Yeah. What do you think about like why it's easy for you to express such raw emotions through song, but maybe a little more difficult to just like talk about it, or, you know, be on stage and talking directly to an audience of people?
It's a great question. I feel like it might have something to do with that. Like, everything is premeditated when it's a song. So it's like, I've already written this down. I've practiced it. You know, I'm like prepared for this. But then when it's just off the dome, it's like, I sound so stupid.
Do you feel like that's like similar to like your interpersonal relationships too sometimes, where it's just like so much easier for you to like express things when thinking about it, like if you're writing it out rather than expressing your
I have your so feelings. Many just like old notes in my phone that should probably be deleted, where I'm just like, this is what I need to say to this person.
Yeah. But just not scared to do it through song.
Yeah.
Just
throwing song it is out fine there. Apparently.
You're getting it out some way.
Yeah.
Which is good.
True.
Where do you feel like thinking about either back to like when you started putting out solo music on your own, or even when you started the Alaska stuff, like where do you feel like you see the most growth in your songwriting, or just how you see yourself as an artist, or even a person for that matter? Wow. You know, it's all relevant.
It's a great question. I feel like, I don't know, I don't want to be cheesy even say that it's always happening, but it just feels like it's always happening. I guess whenever other people leave, it kind of gives me a chance to step up, or like whenever there's holes to be filled. Like with Laska, Evan, I mentioned earlier, recorded all our stuff and played guitar with us for a while. And now like he's still in Wisconsin.
Okay.
And we're playing here. So that has given me and Mookie both an opportunity to like step more into like playing lead on guitar, and like just being more solid in general on guitar, because we like had him to hide behind for so long. Just like, little moments like that where you kind of have to step up and learn more.
Yeah. Just kind of forced into having to get better.
Exactly.
When you were growing up, like you had this desire to get this guitar. Did you see were there other kids like playing guitar around you that you were like, I got to get this guitar? Or like, were like maybe even specifically, were there like women that you saw with a guitar?
Not that I remember. I was actually homeschooled, so like I didn't even see that many people in general.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess even when I got my violin, I remember the day very vividly. It was just like an instrument in a case, and I was like, a guitar. And they're like, no, it's a violin. And I was like, what am I supposed to do with that?
Just super bummed.
Yeah. It's like, what even is a violin? Sounds lame.
Like, are you regularly practicing violin? Like, is it a sort of a thing that has become more of like a discipline for you? Like wanting to improve on that, or is it still just you kind of pick it up whenever you're feeling?
Yeah, I've been like thinking about that a lot, how I should practice violin more. But I feel like it is so ingrained from playing. Like, I took lessons twice a week for like 10 years, so there's a lot of muscle memory involved in that.
So even though you kind of hated it.
I hated it, but I was forced to play it. And now I'm very glad that my mom was like.
So all those chops are still in there.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not all of them, but yeah, some of them are definitely still in there. And I've definitely gotten better over the past few years when I've like started playing again.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was literally just looking at violin wall months because I was like, I need to have my violin more accessible so I play it more often.
Yeah. Do you feel like those skills transferred over to the guitar a lot, or is it?
I haven't really thought about that. I think it's pretty different. Yeah, I don't know.
Does even like practicing guitar feel?
I mean, yeah,
lot different.
Definitely feels a lot different. Yeah. I feel like I need to practice guitar a lot more because there's so many like guitar players in the world, you know, like in order to even be somewhere on the map.
Yeah.
And also because I'm playing it like more for my solo project than violin. And yeah, this is like the only instrument. So
yeah,
I'm trying to be more and more solid
it's
on
not
it
a
all
lot
the time.
To like mask what is happening exactly. When you're playing those solo sets.
Yeah.
Is there going to be a, you know, break out that violin, little solo action? Just start singing some tunes on
right
that?
Now?
No.
Oh, I see what you mean. I think it could be fun to like do violin looper stuff.
Yeah, that would be rad.
That's actually kind of how my solo project started. I'm not sure if you saw Can't Find Sleep on there. That was like the first song that I put out.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was started off as just a looper thing with a violin and voice.
Okay. Oh, right on.
Yeah.
But you have not tried to, like, pull that off live.
I have done it live.
Okay. So the looping is definitely a part of the live show.
But I haven't done it for a while. I've kind of, like, moved on from that, but I kind of want to move back to it at some point. It's not home, but I don't know what that means.
Feel like you enjoy making recorded music more than doing the live stuff?
I think I like playing live more.
Yeah?
Yeah. But they both have their own magics.
What would you say magic versus like live versus recording is for you?
I think live, it's like connecting with people and just like either seeing it while you're playing or like hearing about it afterwards. People just relating to something or just like even feeling moved, even if they're not relating to the lyrics.
Yeah.
Feels really special. And then recording, it's like you can kind of find little surprises for yourself. Like especially when I was recording This Is Gonna Suck, I would just like play synth stuffs over the whole song. And a lot of it was just trash. But then there'd be like little moments listening back. And I'm like, I love that.
Yeah.
It's like a little surprise for me. Keep it in there.
Is that helpful to know your way around the synth, like to at least to a degree where you can use it as a writing tool so you're not just like, I don't know, strapped to the guitar all
yeah,
the time?
Yeah, for sure. And I wouldn't exactly say I know my way around synth, but I can push some buttons.
You know how to push the buttons.
Yeah.
You know how to push record, apparently. Yeah.
That's all you need, I guess.
Did you pick up some like general recording skills just kind of along the way?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you feel like it's important for you to know how to do that stuff so you can kind of facilitate your own ideas?
Yeah, I think I could not afford to like put out my solo stuff without knowing how to record at least some of it on my own.
Yeah. You think you get to kind of maybe like explore it differently too?
Yeah, for sure.
Especially like you were talking about solo producing.
Mm-hmm.
The this is going to suck stuff where you're just, yeah, you don't need anybody to sit there and like figure out how to like listen to these things differently or.
Yeah, it's kind of a fun adventure. Even like recording guitar, I was like trying to put my amp all over different places in the room, trying different settings, just like. An expiration date was like the first one that I really was trying to figure out how to record guitar on. I swear I must have tracked it like 150 times at least. And my roommates were like, are you done with that song yet? I was like, no, just keep waiting.
Just trying to do different spots.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're kind of like the type of person that'll just like keep working through that and figuring out like what is the right spot rather than giving up on it?
Yeah. I kept feeling like it's not right. It's not there yet. So yeah, I just felt like I had to keep trying until I found what seemed right.
What do you feel like was like the biggest challenge in self-producing something and being the, you know, the person in control of everything?
I feel like, just trying not to go crazy. There's definitely also times where I was so frustrated and like, just like, why am I doing this? I cannot do this. And so, yeah, I guess just trying not to be in your head is the hardest part.
And were those songs like ones that were pretty recent or had you been sitting on them for a while?
They were pretty recently written. Yeah. And then I was working on recording them for almost a year. So by the end, they felt not so recent, but.
Yeah. Do you feel like it's important with the solo stuff to kind of get ideas out onto some sort of like platform or like make a recorded version of it? Kind of as soon as you can, so it kind of comes out when you're a little closer to it.
Yeah, I'm not like, I think that might be something I've been taught from Laska because we've like sat on stuff for so long, and so I'm kind of used to it, and that's not really a concern for me, but I do like get the itch where I'm like, I want to put something out, or like there's songs that I'm like, yeah, I want this to be out in the world.
Sweet. Appreciate you coming through.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Talking to me about your music. I love your vocal delivery a lot, and I'm not as familiar with the Laska stuff, but I've been diving into that stuff as well. But the Kitchen Congregation stuff definitely like spoke loudly right from the get-go, and just I feel like you're really great about making these songs that are just like really easy to fall into. They're just got like this dreamy element to it.
Thank you.
That is very cool. So I like both of the EPs very much, and I've been listening to it like quite a bit. And I think even like the diss yourself track.
Oh yeah, diss track for myself.
The diss track for myself. Like even that song is like something I put into like a low-key DJ set that I did the other day. Like, there's some stuff like that, though, I feel like, you know, especially on that EP where it's like, it's vibey enough for things like that.
Yeah.
But then there's definitely like that rawness that you referred to on This Is Gonna Suck, where there's some like really heavy moments, which is rad.
Sweet. Thank you.
Yeah. I want to play the episode out with Expiration Date, which is on that This Is Gonna Suck EP. Can you tell me about this song and I don't know what you were going through when you wrote this one?
Yeah, for sure. I actually wrote it because I was playing with this band in Minneapolis and I absolutely adore all of them and the band. And I was like, I had been telling them, I'm thinking about moving. And then I like came and visited Portland and I was like, yep, this is what I'm doing. And so I went back, wrote that song and I was like, guys, I'm leaving.
I'm out of here.
Yeah. So that was, it was written about leaving the band.
Yeah. It's funny how songs like work that way, because it's easily like, you know, very applicable to like, yeah, especially like a romantic relationship.
Definitely.
Or just like a parting ways of any sort of relationship. So
yeah,
very cool. I'll put all the links in the episode notes so people can keep up with you and your Kitchen Congregation music and the Laska music as well. Put the links for all those things there. And Hannah, we end every episode of the podcast with the guest saying the tagline for the show.
Okay.
Which is, it's a program, and it means absolutely nothing. It's just the way my grandpa says, the news program. He always calls it the program for some reason. He just like, it's some weird enunciation. So it means nothing, but if we can get the kitchen congregation, it's a program, we can properly sail this thing out.
All right. Am I supposed to introduce myself when I say it or just say
you
it?
Can do it however you would like. People will know who you are by the time they've gotten this deep.
We've gotten it. And it's a program.
It's a program.
It's a program.
You did it. Yeah. You did it twice. That's Hannah Morton, everybody. Kitchen Congregation is the solo project. And you can check out Alaska as well. And we are going to play the episode out with Expiration Date off that This Is Gonna Suck EP. And that's the Jelly James. And we will catch you on the flip side, Portland, or wherever you are listening from. Cool.
See.
Shout out to DistroKid for sponsoring this episode of the podcast and for their longtime support of this thing. Don't forget to find that discount link in the episode notes or in my Instagram bio. 30% off your first year membership with DistroKid, helping you get your music in all the places it needs to be. Stay up, stay tuned.